This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Well, you know, Jeff, it's hard to talk when you're eating candy.
Well, that's true.
I've always been told not to say anything when you have food in your mouth.
Well, that's also good manners, yes.
Yes, yes. Would you like to do all this for me? I can't quit eating.
I'd be glad to read something for you if you want me to, but I think you can probably handle it.
Well, thank you very much. And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2006 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they offer on all of their used cars, and that makes them a major destination for used vehicles. Now, this has been just a superb time, hasn't it? The weather's great. Basketball is in the forefront. All of our local teams have had great years.
Well, let's not get carried away.
It seemed like everything is pointing in the right direction these days.
Well, if you mean basketball-wise,
yes.
State tournament, particularly Blackman getting their first time in school history, and the Riverdale girls winning it for the third time and being in the finals. I guess that's the sixth time they've been in the finals. It's been a super year. The Lady Raiders had a great year.
Yes.
And the men, much to everyone's surprise, still at it. In about 4 hours, they'll tip it off versus Minnesota.
Here in Murfreesboro.
Right.
And it's going to be a great game to go see. And we would like to really showcase the Raiders and Murfreesboro tonight, so everybody needs to get out and go watch a great game. And the Raiders are really on top right now.
Yeah, they really are. The tip-off's at 6. Gym will open at 4:30 for Blue Raider Athletic Association members and everybody else 15 minutes later. Every ticket's general admission, so first come, first serve.
You know, I was watching some of the games last night, and the lady up in Delaware, she's 6'5", and it's one of the best human interest and sports stories I've ever seen. I believe her last name is Donne, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great she has a sister that has all kinds of disabilities and really doesn't even know that basketball exists, but she's at the game. And what a human interest story for almost everybody when they see how this young lady plays and how close she is to her family and all the people there in Delaware.
You know, I haven't read anything about it recently, but I think that at one time Middle Tennessee had a chance to recruit her. I believe her brother played football here or was at least enrolled here. I was told that that was correct. But at any rate, she was going to go close to home because of her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And did go to Connecticut, and I never dribbled a ball, I don't think.
Stayed there 24 hours.
Yeah, she was there less than a day.
Homesick.
Yeah, and she seemed to think that she needed to be around her sister, help take care for her, and they were evidently very close. I understand the young lady, as you said, has many disabilities, including she's blind.
Right.
So she went back to Delaware, which is certainly an unknown basketball team. And they made the NCAA mostly on her ability. She can score and play defense. She can do everything.
Well, this seems like this year girls basketball has gone a step up all the way across the board because there are so many great teams and so many great players this year. And Rick Ensel really did have a great year. His girls played hard. Sometimes I think they were at greater odds and still would come out as victors. And a lot of that credit has to go to Rick because he's not only a great recruiter, he's a tremendous coach.
And his staff as
yes.
well. I think one way to judge, and there are many, but I always felt like that if a team improved week by week, and sure, they're going to take a step back every once in a while, but if they generally improve every week, game by game, that was a sign of a good coaching staff and a good head coach. And I think the Lady Raiders did that. I tell you who was maybe the very best at that was Oakland and Randy King's squads.
I mean, my goodness.
Every year I covered them, and I did for years, they got better. After Christmas, they were almost always better. And they continued. And, you know, I think that's a good sign. Some coaching is going on. And I think the Lady Raiders have got that.
Well, Randy King was good at almost everything.
Well, that's true.
I remember that we used to have the sheriff's office would play pickup teams every once in a while in softball. And it got to the point that we did not want to play anybody that had Randy King on their team.
Well, just pitch
because you had two chances, either walk him or watch him walk around all four bases. and he may have been the best softball player I ever saw around.
He was an excellent athlete, that's true. For a kid from Auburn Town, he went far, didn't he?
He really did.
Still doing stuff, matter of fact, at Providence Christian.
You know, teaching in sports has been right at the top of your life, it seems like forever to me, because you're so engrossed in it, and it means so much to you. And I think the goal of for you would to be always see your kids succeed and improve.
Well, I've certainly enjoyed it, and watching youngsters be challenged, and it doesn't have to be, I guess the big two or maybe big three would be football, basketball, and baseball, and girls softball perhaps, and we've added a lot of sports, of course, but you can be challenged anywhere, and I think athletics is one place where we can challenge, you know, youngsters to do their best and to overcome some odds. And I think sports builds character. It also reveals it at the same time. And you can find out an awful lot about a person in spirit of competition. It doesn't necessarily have to be sports. It can be a lot of things.
Do you see the changes over the years? We know a lot has changed in the classroom. Do you see that evolving into sports also in the type of kids that you're coaching and how coachable are they once they start becoming a part of your particular team?
Well,
you're right. I think I
had a coaching friend that said that he would still be coaching if all the players were orphans. I don't. That's pretty rough. I don't know if that's correct or not. I think we'd be maybe a little bit better off if we just turned it over to the powers that be and let them coach, and do their very best and really let them teach. A gymnasium or football field is just a large classroom, and a classroom with a different subject and a different size and maybe outside. But good coaches usually make good teachers, and I think that we were talking about Randy King. That's definitely true of him. He taught math. Ben Gates was in name a couple of Oakland people there, and Ben's, I guess, my best friend. He's a tremendous teacher.
How's Ben doing right now?
He's doing good. I talked to him Sunday night, I guess, and I went out and visited him, and his hip's coming right along. Today, as a matter of fact, a month from his surgery date, so
seemed like it was just yesterday.
Yeah, I know it. I know you're right, and he's going to have another month, 6 weeks, pretty much inactivity as far as you know, being able to walk without a walker,
driving him crazy.
Yeah. Naturally, he wants to be out there with recreation, and church and everything else he's so involved in. But he's got plenty of friends. And I'd say he's probably found out who they all are.
Sometimes it's better just not be a friend for a while and just let him get through it.
Well, he needs some time for sure, but he is getting restless, I'm sure. I've been through that myself, so, you know, I know.
Well, you were mentioning a little bit about parents. Now, coaching is when it really comes to the front. When you've got some kids that are pretty good players and you can see that there's already been an influence from daddy or mama with a kid, sometimes it's hard for them to stop that when they see their kid maybe not doing what they think he should be, but he is following the coach's instructions. Now, how I know that is difficult to deal with.
It is difficult to deal with, and I heard Coach Keith Short, who's a good friend of yours and mine, coached mm-hmm. for a long time at Sparta and then Riverdale and then Buchanan, and has now retired like I am. And I heard him making a speech one night on two parents. And one thing he said that was, parents, please don't be guilty of exaggerating the abilities of your own children.
Right.
He says that they're likely, since average, that's what average is, it's pretty much everybody is average. Mm-hmm. They're probably average players. If they work real hard, they can do better than that maybe, and that kind of thing. And just accept that. And that they're not going to be superstars. And Truman, you and I know that I hear this all the time from youngsters, at least when I was teaching. I'm going to be a professional, you know, basketball player or mm-hmm. football player. And that's fine to think that, but I believe I'd have a backup plan, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Because, you know, most of these youngsters that I meet, or some of them fine players, can, you know, they, as the level, as they move up, you know, it gets tougher and tougher. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of people in Rutherford County, just basketball-wise, that can play at the Motlows of the world and Ball States and things of that nature, and nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. Terrific. Mm-hmm. Go to it. Scholarships are now offered in just countless sports. But when you get much higher than that, when you start talking about Sun Belt and up, and certainly SEC and then professional will be the next rank, there are not many.
Well, to have the size that's needed for those particular sports, of course, that's a God-given thing.
Right.
And then to be able to reach the level that you would like to reach, that requires hours upon hours upon hours. And you look at these people like, say, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, back when you and I remember when that competition was probably at its height. People would think, you know, how great it would be to be able to do some of the things that they do on the court.
Right.
Those things are partly God-given, but a lot of it is just work ethics, just extremely a lot of work that goes into it.
Yes, you're exactly right. I'm more familiar with Bird probably than Johnson, although we saw Magic play here.
Mm-hmm, right.
A game anyway. But I guess that competition thing, matter of fact, they've got a two-hour special on Bird and Magic. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, I think they're going to make a play out of it. I believe.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I think so. I believe
they
are.
Is John Blankenship going to play Larry Bird?
I hope not. No, maybe so. I don't know. But you're right. They would take, pretty much year-round. And then I know Larry Bird would pick out one part of his game, mm-hmm. and he would work exclusively on that as well as everything else, mm-hmm. and try to improve in one particular area. And, of course, they make millions of dollars for that,
oh, yeah.
and they get all kinds of endorsements and et cetera, et cetera. I know the last year he played in Chicago, Magic Johnson made $30 million that year, I believe, and $27 million of it was endorsements. The salary was, he just signed, you know, I mean, he didn't really care. They gave him $3 million, that was fine. Doesn't sound like much now, does it?
What an but he had such a great personality. He was so outgoing and could talk on anything. Well, Larry Bird was more introverted, and he just pretty much let his shooting and basketball skills talk for him.
Right.
He's very an interesting type man.
And in the two-hour play, excuse me, not the play, but two-hour TV program on them, Bird still didn't like it that he lost some championships to Magic. He still didn't like it at all.
He liked Magic Johnson.
Yeah, he did.
But he hated the fact that he lost.
Yeah, that's
Magic
right.
Johnson.
And of course, he beat him. So I don't really remember what the record was in the finals. I think maybe Magic had one more mm-hmm. than Bird. I don't really remember. But Magic didn't care. At least on TV, he didn't bother him at all. You know, that mm-hmm. he lost a couple because he got some. But it bothered Bird. He very competitive person.
What a dream that would have to be for a coach to have either one of them or both of them. And, of course, you know, the big thing that was going on just recently as far as sports, of course, was Peyton Manning and the Tennessee Titans. They threw themselves in the mix and tried to take him. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing at this point, but it seems like after listening to Peyton – He pretty much had his mind made up already. It seemed like he went through the motions of doing the tryouts and all of that. But, you know, the after effect of some of those teams, that may be pretty devastating to some of them, because just the sending the message to their quarterbacks and their team, it's kind of put them in disarray.
Yeah, when you try to sign Peyton and you're kind of saying to the other quarterbacks on your roster, you're going to be a second team or you won't be here.
Right.
And I guess that it was going to happen to the Titans, mm-hmm. certainly to Locker and Hasselbeck for sure. I mean, they know, you know. But, hey, they make millions of dollars and they can put up with it and they can get out there and try to do their job, I guess. I noticed that they traded Tebow today to the Jets.
Oh, did they? Yeah. I haven't heard that.
Yeah. So,
I hope he does well.
I hope he does well too.
Yeah.
I just heard this coming over here, just before I left the house, that they suspended the New Orleans coach for a year.
Whoa.
For that bounty thing,
yeah.
You know, where they were naming players to knock out of the game for a year.
Now, what do you think about that? Because I know they have been doing that for years.
Oh,
it's just
yes.
been on the sly, or maybe it may be an unsaid thing, but it's been done.
Yeah. This time, evidently, too many people got involved in it, and the word got out that there were some cash rewards mm-hmm. for knocking so-and-so out of the game and that kind of thing. But, hey, that you're right. That's been going on since the first ball was snapped.
As they used you know. To say, that's football.
Yeah, that's right.
now, when you were coaching, every coach had a way of dealing with parents. And I don't know if you remember, but Mr. Coach is Mr. Pate. Mr. Coach, you didn't call him Coach. Mr. Pate. His way of dealing with parents is he didn't deal with them.
Right.
I mean, if a parent got involved in just the smallest detail, you didn't have to worry about it because his son or daughter, they weren't on the team anymore.
Well, that was his way of dealing with it.
Right. And I don't know how that would relate to today's time.
I don't believe that would work at all.
Yeah.
I think he would find himself in the principal's office with the parent probably today.
Mm-hmm.
But that was his, of course, by having that sort of attitude, he ensured the fact that he was not going to have to deal with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody would challenge him. Nobody would come around to ask him any question. Like, you know, why did my son have to run laps or whatever? You know, he wasn't interested in answering that question. So that question would never be asked.
Well, at that time, the coaches were the supreme leaders.
That's correct.
And you have gone through the stages of all of that and the changes. And as a coach, do you think that particular individual needs the ability to be in that level where they're above all of the goings-on around the team and he can deal directly with the kids? And his word is the last word, no matter what. Because it seems like coaches who have that authority do much better than others.
Yes, I think so. If no other reason, it sure saves a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
And you can turn that time into coaching and preparation. And we need to remember too that youngster has got a life, you know, beyond athletics, and
right.
much more important things are going on. Maybe not more important to them, but there are much more important things that are going on mm-hmm. in academics and other areas, spiritually and off campus.
Isn't that the part of the coach's responsibility is building
mm-hmm.
the character of the individual and preparing him for the things that he's going to have to face in life?
Sure. And as I said a while ago, I think sports, along with a lot of other things, can build character and can reveal it all at the same time. And if something is revealed that you think is a weakness, and you can work on that. Yeah, I mean, you and I know that no matter, I mean, there are going to be sometimes devastating things happen to you,
mm-hmm.
but certainly disappointments all through your life. You've got to deal with those, and you've got to get back up after you get knocked down, because we all get knocked down, all of us, sometimes right. repeatedly.
Continually.
Yeah.
But can you see the difference? I was reading the paper this morning about education and how when they are grading the teachers, it may be to the point that the teachers will not be able to see the marks that they're giving them as far as their way that they are reacting in the classroom. And I haven't, I'm like everybody else, when you read the paper, you're only getting bits and pieces of what's really going on. But that really bothered me that the teachers would be left out of how they were being looked at by the ones who are actually critiquing them. And but yet the parents and other individuals would have the ability to see how they're being graded. Now, I don't really understand that.
And Truman, I'm going to tell you, I really didn't understand it exactly that way. I do know this. Senator Tracy came to our steering meeting and talked to us in response to a question, and others were there as well, and legislators, and they pretty much stated that this evaluation process was likely going to change at some point, and it was going to be, obviously, if you're going to change it, you're going to try to improve it,
right,
and make it maybe the same types of evaluations, perhaps, but fewer of them. Mm-hmm. There were so many, and it was just bogging down the school and the principal and assistant principal. Mm-hmm. We even had to hire some people to help them get it done because there was just so many to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's still up in the air as to what they're going to do with this first year's evaluations. I don't think they have firmly decided that yet. Of course, the legislature is meeting now, and there's some legislation in the hopper. We're just going to have to wait and see what changes come out of this at the end of the session.
Did they respond at your meeting as why they decided to go this route as far as their evaluation process?
No, not really. I think the general consensus, however, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but that perhaps the new system that went in was too much of a requirement and was too time-consuming. Mm-hmm. And perhaps too many evaluations. It's really not a good idea. That's almost an evaluation a month. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's probably too many. And so I think they wanted to cut that down. And they, of course, people have been yelling about it for, you know, all year, and educators have. And I think they wanted to try and change it. Now we'll just have to see what they actually do or not.
I have talked to a number of educators, and they seem so frustrated because it didn't seem the system as it was being set up was something that was workable at all. They were putting almost impossible restrictions on the teachers or levels of success that couldn't be met in the classroom. And as far as, you know, like everybody's always said, every student is not the same. They're not all equal. They all have different talents as far as what they're made up to do. And sometimes you can waste a child's time and waste the teacher's time if you're not going to come to some type of fruition. It really doesn't make sense.
Well, there's a good deal of it that doesn't, it just doesn't sound quite right. The evaluation process, probably, you know, maybe two or three times a year, it seems to me, would be enough, and maybe every other year or something, but maybe more frequent than that. I mean, I think I could live with that if I were in the classroom now. But there were so many of them that people would be evaluated the first week of school, which I mean, before, I know the first week of school, you don't even have your full teaching load yet. And I mean, the kids barely know where to sit, and you got books issued, but they'd be there, you know, evaluating them. We did have a situation, and this is an extreme example, but and this is not in Rutherford County, by the way, but it was in Tennessee, I believe, where the principal came in and wanted to evaluate. It was time to evaluate, and the teacher said, "Well, my student teacher is teaching today," and I'm evidently that it was just a walk-in, you know, no announcement. And the principal said, "Well, I'm going to evaluate whoever is teaching." mm-hmm. and those grades will be yours.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's an extreme example. But I think that's a reflection of just so many evaluations to do. Now, we need to remember that if you're going to evaluate a teacher, and I've had the pleasure, and I mean that sincerely, the pleasure of doing that on many occasions when I was assistant principal at Laverne. All of us did, Mr. Buckner and Mr. Shelton and Dr. Stauffer and Linda Kennedy. All of us evaluated folks. And
it's been going on for years.
Oh, yeah, and Will Shelton and others. And non-tenured people and people that have been there a number of years, and you go back and you check back in with them, and you have certain rules and regulations that you follow. But there's also a pre-evaluation conference and a post-evaluation conference. And, of course, the inevitable forms that one must fill out and file, and everybody's got to sign them, of course, that you were notified that you didn't do this or you did do that or and so forth. And some of them are just walk-in evaluations of just a few minutes, and some of them involve the entire period. Some of them are announced. Some of them aren't. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon, when you start multiplying the number of people that you've got to go see and evaluate, it gets pretty cumbersome.
Now, when you're watching a teacher at work in the classroom, what are you looking at? The attention of the kids, the way that the teacher presents the program of whatever he or she's teaching at that time? And, of course, when you've got an evaluator or like a principal inside the classroom, I presume that you're noticed when you're there.
Oh, yeah.
The kids are going to act different when you're in there also. So you have to take that in consideration sometimes, that you're going to have three or four little troublemakers in class from time to time, and the teacher's not going to be would not have to deal with that while you're sitting in there.
It can work. It can work both ways. They're either better or worse. So, you know, I think almost generally better, and usually the teacher, perhaps if the teacher knew about it that you were coming that day, probably announced it. So they, you know, they knew that you were coming in. Truman, the forms have changed, and they're different also for certain people in the building. The librarian and guidance counselor, but they are different from the regular classroom teacher. But I believe that the present form calls for, I'm going to say, 60 different items that evaluator is looking for. Well,
wow.
Now, come on. I mean, that's impossible. I mean, the class is probably 45 minutes. Mm. So it's very difficult to do all that. But certainly, you're looking for knowledge of the subject, obviously, mm-hmm. and the interest and the performance, if you will. That's not a really very good word. But how the teacher is going about getting the knowledge from her or him to each individual student. Mm-hmm. Are they paying attention to everybody in the classroom? Are there volunteers? Are they doing different activities or one long thing, which generally kids hate?
Mm-hmm.
Kids will listen to you 10, 15 minutes, and then, you know,
that's most people.
Yeah, that's right. And you better have something else to get the same, you know, message across. People remember more things of what they see than what they hear. Mm-hmm. It's about double. They can remember better. So you're looking for all that kind of thing. Did you try to involve people that appeared not to want to be involved? You know, the mousy student that may know everything but will never volunteer. That kind of thing is what you're looking for. But there's a lot of it.
The ability of the student, how much of that is taken in? Because if you have a very gifted student, a lot of times it's probably more of a boring classroom than it is to the others, because they're already on top of everything. So you have those students, and then you have the average students, and then you have those that really have to work hard just to keep up, and sometimes even that's difficult.
Well, it's, I guess, one of my criticisms, I suppose, of education remains true today, although it has changed a good deal, and I think greatly improved. Education is, I'll just, you know, say that from now until when I was in high school, and remember that's 50 years.
Right.
Almost exactly 50 years.
You and Susan will be back in here.
That's right. Susan, Susan Turner Taylor and I will be in here to talk about our 50th anniversary of our graduation from high school.
62.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's a big deal coming up in June. But anyway, the education is very, very, very different than what it was then. A lot of different things going on in the classroom, and I think most of it is positive. I really do. I think the quality of education, the interest to the teachers, I think it's considerably better. But it is true that we assume that everybody needs to start at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, students, if they're not, whatever course they might be in, everybody in that room has got the same book,
mm-hmm.
regardless of their ability to read, comprehend, or retain. And they're all going to be graded on pretty much the same grade scale. And that's probably unrealistic, you know. The most important person in that child's life, this is absolutely true. Now, there's no question about this. So please don't call and chew me out on this, all right? The most important person in the learning process for that child is that child's teacher, all right? Followed closely by, very closely by, supportive parents.
Now, can you see the success of a child relate back to how much input the parents have in that child's life?
Well, I think so, absolutely. And how much preparation they have beginning school, mm-hmm. and support that they have during every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one problem that we have, and this is pretty, serious problem. As the child gets into the 4th, 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, the interest from the parent in the school slows way down.
It wanes, yeah.
And in the high school, it just drops off dramatically.
Because the relationship changes between the child and the parent.
Yeah, well, you're right on it.
The parent's not as smart when they get to be a teenager.
Oh, no. No. I watched my wife go from a brilliant woman to dumb as a rock to a genius in just, 10 years. She did that. Same woman. I never really understood that. But anyway, I think, too, we got to remember maybe they have two or three children, so they've got some coming on behind, and so the interest in the older one may drop. I say interest, that's probably not a good way to put it, but they do not become as involved as they were. Also, the child doesn't keep them as informed as they should, because there's always a strained relationship, between teenagers and their parents. I mean, that just goes back, and they don't want them at school. It's an embarrassment and all that kind of silly stuff, but it's there.
Yeah, drop me off a block away so they won't see me get out of the car.
Yeah, don't kiss me goodbye, for heaven's sakes.
Do we do a good job, or the system, with evaluating a child's ability and talents and work with that child so that he or she can become more successful once they leave the high school level? Now, not everybody needs to go to college.
Right.
They can become successful in other areas that they're not going to be able to receive that type of schooling in a university level.
Well, I think, first of all, our testing procedures, which are extensive, and our guidance people, and central office people as well, but particularly our guidance people in each individual school, can put that child on the right path, I think, and generally, and with some help from the parents and the children as well, can find out the best path for that child to take.
Mm-hmm.
Many times, however, the student will not want to take some courses where they really need to be.
Mm-hmm.
AP English, for instance, or college prep courses and things of that nature, because they're harder and they take more time. And so they'll, not knowing really what's at stake sometimes, mm-hmm. will try to get out of it. But a good guidance counselor can get around that. And boy, I tell you what, I can't speak for every school because I've been in every school in Rutherford County more than once probably. But the only one that I really know about at that time was Laverne High School. Mm-hmm. And our guidance people were absolutely top-notch. I mean, terrific people. And when I taught at Riverdale, though that guidance people, and they're all retired now, that was excellent. And they knew those students. They knew their grade level. They knew their grades in every subject, their strengths, their weaknesses, where they need to be. Even to the point of maybe selecting or helping the child select certain teachers where they might be, you know, better off.
Wow.
And I think that's pretty impressive.
You know, sometimes I think that we lose sight of the guidance teachers that aren't in the classroom and what a great factor that they are in the child's education
process. They are critical.
We're going to take a quick break and let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Gold and Coin Connection, and that's at 2568 South Church Street, and that's beside the Gateway Tire Center in the Strip Mall, and on the New Nashville Highway, 5631 New Nashville Highway. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum coins, and silverware. And they have vintage sports collectibles and some great antiques. And if you want a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly. And that's at the Golden Coin Connection, 2568 South Church Street, or 5631 New Nashville Highway. And give them a call at 890-2646.
We do all of our on-site repairs at all three of our locations versus you mailing your phone off and being without it. This is Melanie Davenport with Sprint by Sailor Concepts. We want to keep you talking and keep you happy. We do on-site phone repairs. We give you loaner phones if necessary to keep you going while we get the phone swapped out or help you with insurance claims. So it's kind of nice to have an on-site repair center. Call us at 893-CELL-2355. Sprint by Cellular Concepts.
This is Kim Hilsman from Sunshine Nutrition Center. Come on down. We've got supplements, herbs, a wide variety of foods. We've also got pet foods, personal care items. So come see us and talk to me or any one of my staff. Sunshine Nutrition Center in Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
Hello, I'm Dave Gober with First Community Mortgage.
And Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery.
Be sure to tune in every Saturday from 11:30 to 12:30 for the Rutherford Home Show presented by Old South Properties.
We are joined each week by local professionals to give helpful information about your home and the local community.
We also give you local real estate stats and rate information.
Join us here on WGNS for the Rutherford Home Show every Saturday, 11:30 to 12:30.
From the WGNS Good Neighbor Events, we find that the Murfreesboro Rotary Club is having a four-way test speech contest. That's going to be 4:30 on Thursday afternoon, March 29th, at the Boys and Girls Club. Now, this is open to any high school student here in Rutherford County. Doesn't matter whether you go to public school, private school, or if you're homeschooled. It's free to enter, and your 4 to 6 minute talk is all about Rotary's four-way test. You do have to enter, though. There are cash prizes, plus you might win a $1,000 college scholarship. Once again, the Murfreesboro Rotary Club's four-way test speech contest is Thursday, March 29th at 4:30 in the afternoon at the Boys and Girls Club. Call the Boys and Girls Club and talk with Jenny Wright for more information. And on Saturday, March the 31st, from 8 in the morning until 11, it's an oil-based paint collection, and that'll be at 1140 Haley Road. Again, that's oil-based paint only, Saturday, March 31st from 8 to 11 at 1140 Haley Road. Also Saturday, March 31st, volunteers are needed to help clean the Stones River Battlefield. That date is also the Girl Scouts' 100th anniversary, and those are Good Neighbor Events.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Jeff Jordan. You know, it's education is such a complicated issue because you're having to deal with so many different type of kids. You're not doing something that it's going to be repetitive all the time, because you're always, as a teacher, you're looking for something to interest the kids, to really get their attention, because you know inside those heads somewhere there is an eagerness to learn. You just got to find it.
Yeah, they want to learn. They really do. And they know when they're not getting good instruction, or at least they know when they're not being instructed. Let's put it that way. And I don't know if they would recognize necessarily great teaching or not, but I would assume that they would.
Do you think that not having discipline in the schools like it used to be, do you think that that's a major factor in the classroom as far as being able to learn in a better setting?
Well, certainly we take every precaution to, maybe we go too far sometimes, but there's so much at stake, and you do not want to remove a child from the classroom if you can avoid it. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm not sure even the zero tolerance sometimes is you know, correct. Maybe it's not worded right. But
just exactly what does zero tolerance
mean?
Well,
it means that if you make a certain offense,
right,
and it could be any number of things. It's whatever the school board decides.
Bringing the knife on,
yeah, that kind of thing. Then automatically, that's hence the zero tolerance.
Uh-huh.
You remove that youngster from the classroom. I think most of the time that's probably good, but I just think there's a lot of discipline things we haven't explored yet. Really.
But they don't really take them completely out of the classroom. They'll send them to school that is a little bit tougher and has kids in it mostly that are very hard to discipline in the classroom.
Right, in Rutherford County, that'd be Daniel McKee or Smyrna West, and I said remove, I meant from that classroom.
Right.
Discipline remains, and it was when I was in school. I mean, discipline is a problem. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, it's there, and one consistently unruly child can ruin the learning of the other whatever you've got in there.
Mm-hmm. And the stakes are, like you mentioned before, are pretty high on both levels. But if you take one child that's just absolutely not going to behave in a classroom, and then you've got 25 others that are trying to learn, you have to do something with the child.
Yeah. I always found out in all the years that I taught that most of the time you can avoid that kind of thing with children. If you treat them with dignity and respect, most of the time they'll return it. And that's by dignity and respect, I mean they're not going to disturb. They're not going to stop you from teaching. Mm-hmm. If you approach it right. I've felt that way. Maybe not everyone would agree.
Do you think No Child Left Behind is a system that's possible, or do you think that in some ways we are taking the accountability away from that child and the child's parents?
Well, we're now at a situation where we're going to waver out of this No Child Left Behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amusing in a way, because us older people that have been in this thing forever, this had to happen. I mean, there was no way it could not happen. And it did. So now we don't have to worry about having 100% graduation rates by 2014, which, of course, is never going to happen. Mm-hmm. It won't happen in 3014. It just won't work that way. But generally speaking, I think the idea behind No Child Left Behind was a good one. It was the restrictions were way too tight and too lofty goals, but maybe that's okay to set lofty goals. But it was, as most programs are, underfunded.
Mm-hmm.
And they were depending on the someone other than the federal government. They were making you do certain things, but then expecting you to pay for it and not give you enough money to handle what they wanted you to do. That's normal.
But that's a two-edged sword when you start talking about people who are having to run the school system, because without that federal money that's coming in, that they have the ability to take away from you. You're not going to be able to build all those new schools that you need. And to me, it's almost like you're having to extort an idea. In some respects, I don't think it. Somehow, the school systems themselves should have some ability to relate back to the people who are sending the money into our area, that this particular subject that you've got us having to work with is not a workable situation, that you need to give us a little bit more of an idea of how to succeed in this, because you're not going to get any ideas, because most of these ideas that they've got are problems that they've got coming at you are not solvable anyway.
Well, most of the No Child Left Behind problems that quickly surfaced to us, that there was just no way to realistically reach every single goal.
Right.
And you would have excellent schools, excellent people doing a great job, but they would fall short in some area. It could be Spanish-speaking students not making something in math, for instance. That one tiny little area right there could really get your school in trouble. Or the reading levels of a certain group were not what they should be. While everybody else was doing great, maybe you need more emphasis in that area. And, of course, they didn't come and slap you around right away, but they put you on target eventually and everything. And if at the end of it, after you've gone through two or three years of this, you remained in that kind of situation, then they come and fire everybody and take over your school like they did Maplewood in Nashville, for instance. I didn't have anything to do with this at all except support them, but I think Mr. Gill and our school board and our teachers and staff have done an absolutely superlative job in dealing with it. We've got some pretty exceptional people in this county running
the
school
system.
We really do.
We're losing one.
Well, I'm sure that we will have a capable replacement for Mr. Gill. That doesn't worry me. Well, I just have enjoyed his leadership.
Yes.
I think it's been very effective.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit unlike you. I do worry about losing Harry, because when you take somebody that has his finger on everything that's going on and has done such a great job, having a change always brings about things that you don't know which direction it's going to go. And of course, we'll give whoever comes in to take his place our full support, but it is going to be hard to replace somebody like him.
It is. I think we need to remember that. And I'm not, believe me, Truman, I'm going to look you in the eye and tell you, I don't really know exactly what took place here. Mm-hmm. But he did resign.
Right.
So there was, as far as I know, there was no attempt to do anything else other than just accept his resignation. The second thing that's really good for somebody, it will not be good for us probably, but it'll be good for somebody, is that Harry will probably immediately become a consultant. and he will be helping other school systems to reach goals. So,
but if you think about it, though, if you have a system that is large as Rutherford County's, and you have all of the changes and the responsibilities and all the impact of what the federal government and the state puts on you that are sometimes unrealistic ways of looking at things, and to be put on a one-year contract every year, that has to be extremely difficult. You look at Murfreesboro has an extended contract. Rutherford County continues to, as far as I'm concerned, an outdated way of dealing with the superintendent. How can you prove your worth in 1 year? Or maybe one thing can go wrong and change the outlook of the board in that 1 year. So I have a tough time, because if you're continually worrying about your job from one day to the next, that's almost an impossible way to do your job, as far as
I'm
concerned.
You make a good point stating it that way. It was an upsetting time, I think. And, you know, I haven't heard one person, and people talk to me about schools all the time, I haven't heard anybody – say anything but kind words for about Mr. Gill mm-hmm. in a long time.
And I can tell you, our school system is second to none.
Yeah.
I mean, they are at the top in everything from academics to athletics to whatever. Rutherford County is always mentioned across the state and also all across the southeast. Everybody knows Rutherford County and Murfreesboro.
Well, a few years ago, the system itself changed in giving the superintendent or the director of schools additional powers.
Right.
And really, he's an employee of the school board,
mm-hmm.
and they are, and everybody else works for the director.
Mm-hmm.
And the system itself now. But the director comes in and says, I'm appointing so-and-so, effective such-and-such a date, as principal of this school.
Mm-hmm.
And the school board has no vote on the matter.
Right.
And many other things as well. Now, whether that's good or bad is not the issue. I happen to think it's good, but it doesn't matter what I think. My point is that Mr. Gill has hired over half the principals presently working in Rutherford County.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty impressive.
It is impressive, and we have great principals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't go into a school that's just it's what you want in this day and time as far as where you want your kids to go to or grandkids. But I remember when they decided that they would no longer let the superintendent run for office.
Right.
And that's what you were alluding to earlier,
yes.
I think. And at that time, they were equally in power. They really were. But the superintendent, the way he ran the system, he ran it on his own pretty much. He worked with the board as far as the financial needs and things like that. But dealing with the kids, it's something that I think about from time to time. You take the power away from the people and then you give it to a few individuals. It's an interesting subject. And we want to let you know that this show, part of the show, has been brought to you by At Home Care. And it is located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And Melissa Warren saw a need for people to be taken care of in their homes when they no longer could take care of all the responsibilities inside and they may have to go elsewhere. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. At Home Care comes into your home 24/7, takes care of all the duties there. Even they run errands. They make sure that you really don't have anything to do but enjoy life, and you have earned it at this point. So give them a call at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com.
Okay, Murfreesboro, the quack is back. That's right, you heard it here first. The Ducks are back in town on June 23rd for the Sudsy's Car Wash Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. We plan to float 10,000 rubber ducks down the Stones River, all to raise money for the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. $5 gets a duck entered into the race for a chance to win a $5,000 cash grand prize. Starting in May, you can adopt your ducks online at duckrace.com/Murfreesboro.
We make important choices in our lives every day. You owe it to yourself to make an informed decision about where to receive cancer treatment. The Cancer Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center offers the area's only accredited program. That means it meets the high standards set by the Commission on Cancer. We consider it a blessing to provide you with the very best care available. To locate an MTMC physician, call 284-LIFE. Why choose any place else?
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Jeff Jordan. Well, tonight's a big night.
It is.
MTSU plays Minnesota tonight.
That's right.
Going to be a great game. I think the Raiders are going to take it.
Okay.
But the big thing is we need to fill the stadium.
Well, it's
or the arena or the gym.
It's just $10. So
yeah, $10. I mean, how? And you can see just about everybody that you've known all your life in Rutherford County in the gym tonight.
I think it'll be terrific evening. I have hopes that we can win. I watched them play the other night. They're plenty good, but of course so was Marshall and certainly so was UT. So, you know, I mean, we're doing rather well. I'm looking forward to it tonight. It ought to be fun. And I think if we win, the next step is New York, isn't it? It could happen to us. So,
have you got your reservations for New York yet?
I don't think that's going to be possible for the Jordan
Fans. That's going to be at the big arena in New York.
I'll just listen to Chip Walters and Dick Palmer and Kyle Turnham and people like that.
And it comes on at 5:30 tonight, I think.
That's what Brian said.
So everybody's got to be ready. And
6 o'clock tip-off. Gym opens for the general public at 4:45.
So everybody bring your radios with you tonight to the gym and listen to WGNS and watch the game at the same time. And you'll, if somebody jumps in front of you, you'll have an accurate depiction of what you just missed. But let's hopeful that when Minnesota has got the ball, as long as we can keep them from scoring, everybody will be standing, right?
That's right.
Let's hope they stand for the whole first half.
Stand for defense. You know, the first night we did that, which was a number of years ago, I think, really, this sounds unbelievable, I believe we stood for 11 minutes.
Are we the only one that stands for the defense? Almost everybody stands for the offense. Once they hit, then they sit down.
Yeah, I don't really know that. I don't know. It's kind of fun. And, you know, they did it at the Sun Belt, too. We did it down there in Arkansas when our teams played. So, and I'm sure the other teams thought, well, why are they still standing, you know, or other people didn't know. But, you know, we do it men and women. So it's kind of fun.
It's always fun to have you on, Jeff.
Remember that other coach has a national championship under his belt, Tubby Smith from Kentucky. You know, and now he's been in Minnesota. He just walked away from the Kentucky job.
Tubby was a great coach.
He was. He was in Georgia before that, I guess.
I bet he'd love to have that team that he's got over right now.
Yeah, who wouldn't? That's right. But anyway, hey, I enjoy being here, Truman. A lot of fun, as always. Always great to see you.
You're always fun. You really are. And I hope someday that you're able to work the crossword puzzles and the jumbles without my help. But we'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock.